Do you want to ride your bike, or do you want to learn how to train so you can really ride your bike?
It's all about building fitness. Get your legs spinning and get your heart pumping. It's not about training what you're good at. It's about training what you're not good at. They'll want to know what you've been doing for the last few months because you'll be kicking their ass. This is exactly how you get ahead. This is exactly how you get stronger. I'm giving you the tools you need to be a beast on two wheels. If you do the things I'm talking about, you'll be stronger, you'll be fitter, you'll be faster, and everyone around you will notice the difference. This is Tailwind Coaching, and you're listening to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. Okay, welcome everybody to another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. As usual, I am your host, Coach Rob, and I've got a good show for you today. And today's show, before we get to it, we got a few announcements, but today's show is going to be the Strava, the fitness wonder or the fitness wrecker. How has it changed the way we train? How has it modified the way we train? And how has it possibly ruined the way we train? It's very apropos this time of year. Here in the Northeast, we're hitting the midweeks of December, and with unseasonably warm, actually, with temperatures up in the mid-50s for a few days here. So we've actually had a large slew of days where we're able to get out and ride, and we're going to talk about how Strava has sort of changed our riding even in the off-season. But first, I want to do a little housekeeping here. I want to thank a couple of my sponsors who's been with me from the beginning, Road ID. Road ID speaks when you are unable to, so if the worst should happen while you're out on one of your training rides or one of your solo get-outs, and you should crash and be unable to communicate for one reason or another, first responders finding your body there in a ditch will be able to identify you and some family to call so that they can be aware of your continued existence. And the Sufferfest, I'd like to thank Dave McQuillan over there. He produces some really, really awesome training videos. Videos that, even though I am a coach and I sell training plans, I really do endorse because they are they are incredibly entertaining. They're a great way to pass time on the trainer. And the videos themselves are a really excellent workout. They're a great substitute for one day of my workouts if you're following my plans. Or in many cases, they're a great day for a substitute for anybody's training plan. If you really just want to do something a little different and sort of run the legs a little bit, that's a great way. Head on over to the Sufferfest and check those videos out. U.S. Wellness Meets, Bulletproof Exec, both great resources for extremely pure substances, extremely pure ingredients. U.S. Wellness Meats for hormone-free, antibiotic-free, grass-fed, pastured beef, chicken, etc., etc. Great for packing on the pounds in terms of muscle this time of year if you're in the gym. Bulletproof Exec has bucket loads of different stuff to help you recover faster, recover stronger, and in general, be a more healthy, well-rounded human being. And of course, if you're on over at the website, actually you can access any of these over at the website, tailwind-coaching.com, and you can click through my sponsors, and if you click through they and, of course, my Amazon store, which is my recommended gizmos, gadgets, and things that I have used and endorse, click through from the website, tailwind-coaching.com, and, of course, those affiliates will toss a few dinars my direction to help to cover the cost of the Tailwind Coaching podcast bandwidth and, of course, hosting space. Doesn't come free, folks. I wish it did. And, of course, I make no money off the Tailwind Coaching podcast here. I do this as a completely free service because I like nothing more than watching people enjoy riding their bike. And the faster they're riding their bike, typically, the more they're enjoying riding their bike. The stronger a cyclist they are, the more fun they tend to have. So getting this out there is great, great, great for watching people enjoy doing something that I love to do. As I said, you can visit the site. It is the podcast episode show notes receptacle, tailwind-coaching.com, and there will be links to a lot of the stuff that I talk about in the podcast description and post on that website, along with an archive of all my previous podcasts. If you can't get them on iTunes, you can find them on the website. And speaking of iTunes, there is a link in this episode show notes for the podcast on iTunes. Head on over there, rate it 5 stars. The more ratings that I get, the more people are able to actually get this information, the higher it goes on the charts. And again, the more people are able to enjoy riding their bike just a little bit faster and a little bit harder than before. Shameless plug for training plans. Remember those training plans that are available are my modular training plans in the training plan store over at tailwind-coaching.com. Modular plans are a great way to pick your own season and build your own training plan this season. It is basically the off season, or as I call it, the not so off season. So at this point, my strength module has been released, and that is a 9-week module. It has a week zero included in it, and that is essentially a 1 rep max week or 3 rep max week as it is to determine what weights you're going to be lifting at. That plan is a reverse pyramid micro-loading plan designed specifically for working in a gym setting and is designed to really provide you significant strength gains. There is some explosiveness, some plyometrics, some things like that built in there. However, they are not the focus of this plan. Maybe a little bit down the line, I will be putting together some kettlebell and explosiveness workouts. However, again, the raw strength module is essentially about building pure raw strength. And you do that in the gym. If you want some information about that, you can head right back to my Strength Training for Cyclists podcast, where we talk about how you build cycling strength through working out in the gym, physiologically how that works. Other modular plans, the Bat and Kill plan, not really a modular plan, but it is standalone and it falls under that category. That is available now. Those of you who are doing that, I'm getting great feedback on it. You should be in week zero at this point. That plan was slated to start at December 1st for a week zero start, and that's an FTP test week and getting used to the plan and things like that. So if you already have a good grip on that, you can actually bag that week if you so desire and jump right in at week one, which would be around the 8th of December. So there is still plenty of time to grab that plan and make a run for the podium up there. As I said, a variety of that plan from last year has driven a few people up to the podium and a couple of really, really high finishes, which is really, really awesome. So training plan support, don't forget that. If you have questions, concerns, or you just want one-on-one coaching to go along with your modular plans, now modular plan or some kind of training plan is required purchase for the training plan support. It is one of the best options out there. Essentially for $30 a month, you get one-on-one coaching contact. All right, that's $30 a month. You get one-on-one coaching. The only thing I don't do for you is I don't write a training plan for you week by week by week or month by month. And that's where a lot of the time comes. So I am able to offer you one-on-one coaching a whole lot cheaper than if I was building you a training plan each month. That's not to say that my one-on-one training coaching slots are not an exceptional value. However, I have one available if you're interested in taking that. I think you should jump on that very quickly. I don't have any consults waiting in the pipeline right now. So if you need a consult or you're interested in that one-on-one slot, get a hold of me ASAP. And finally, of course, for those of you who are loyal listeners to the podcast, don't forget the Podcast 10 discount code. That's Podcast10 at checkout, and that'll take 10% off every single thing in your Tailwind Coaching shopping cart. So if it's on the website, if it's on that downloadable training plans, if it's one of my high-intensity trainer workouts, you get 10% off of that. If you subscribe to the Tailwind Coaching newsletter, there's a freebie in that subscription as well. And of course, keep an eye out for the Tailwind Coaching newsletter. I very frequently run specials in that newsletter just for the subscribers. And I also very, very frequently have free downloads of one kind or another. in that newsletter. So head on over to the website, tailwind-coaching, subscribe to that newsletter, and you'll get a free goodie and a few more down the pipeline. So all of that taken care of, let's get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, and that is Strava. Is it a fitness wrecker or is it a fitness wonder? All right, now speaking of Strava, I have recently set up, for those of you who are interested, Tailwind Coaching is now on Strava as a club, and that is strava.com/clubs/tailwind-coaching. And you can head over there, and you can compare yourself to all of the other Tailwind Coaching followers, athletes, etc., etc., and you can see where you stack up. And I also really, really encourage people over there to start discussion and encourage each other to really hit cycling goals and things that you really, really want to do this coming season. That aside, let's get into the meat of today. We're talking about Strava. Is that a fitness wrecker or is it a fitness wonder? Well, let's talk about Strava. First of all, unless you've been living under a rock for the last 2-3 years or so, Strava has kind of taken the world of cycling and running by storm. It's become a almost ubiquitous point of discussion anytime anybody's talking about a group ride or anything like that. It is essentially social media for cyclists and runners. It is a way for cyclists and runners to compete against each other without actually riding together, without actually even knowing each other. So it's an interesting concept, which is sort of really taken off to the point where there are custom Strava jerseys for each challenge each month, etc., etc. They are partnered with Rafa in a number of challenges, which is really huge, both for the support of Rafa towards Strava challenges and goals, but also for the the free advertising that Rafa gets every time, you know, somebody selects to do a, say, a Rafa Rising Challenge or the Rafa Festive 500, which is coming up here, 500 kilometers, I think it is, in a week. And that's just free advertising for Rafa and for Strava because it gets shared on your Facebook, it gets shared on your Twitter and all your other social media platforms. So essentially, Strava is a way to put yourself out there, race and challenge each other in sort of a virtual community. But actually based on your own performance. And of course, there's the Strava doping page and all that other crap for people that need to add a few inches to their proverbial genitalia in this this virtual junk measuring competition, as it would be. But essentially, all that aside, what's the basic concept behind Strava is you have either the app on your phone, be it iPhone or Android, or you're using a Garmin-style GPS, what you do is you upload your ride to Strava, and certain highlighted portions of your ride called segments, your time is compared in a leaderboard among all the other people who have ever ridden that and uploaded a ride to Strava. So you can see where you rank on climbs, on some descents, on flat sections, etc., etc. Strava also has a community based format where you can talk with each other, you can send messages back and forth to each other, you can search for other riders in your area, you can befriend riders in your area. It also has a concept called challenges, and challenges are basically far-reaching goals that that are meant to be challenging, and they're a goal for you to hit. For example, the Rafa Rising Challenge is usually something in the neighborhood of climb around 30,000 feet in about a week, usually when the Tour de France is going on between the Alps and the Pyrenees. It's basically to climb the height of all the major mountain passes, but you're supposed to do it in your own backyard, so to speak, with your own rides. The idea is to show you how tough it is to do such a thing. The Rafa Festive 500 is a Strava challenge where in between Christmas and New Year's, you're supposed to ride 500 kilometers in the dead of winter. Well, in the dead of winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, as it may be. But that's a little overview of Strava for those of you who don't know what it is. The big questions for me, especially as a coach, but as a writer, there's quite a few of them, actually, and I'll digress here for a moment. When I lived back when I lived in New York a number of years ago, when Strava was first coming on the scene, I eagerly embraced it. Even when I moved to New Jersey, I eagerly embraced Strava. In fact, I spent the better part of an entire summer just chasing Strava segments and KOMs. The person on the top of the leaderboard for any segment is considered the king of the mountain, or for you ladies, the queen of the mountain, just in case you weren't aware. I spent a good summer chasing KOMs. And, you know, it was fun in its own way. It helped me meet people in the area that I had, you know, that I had moved to, that I probably otherwise would have had a bit of a rough time meeting. And even currently, as I've, even though I've curtailed my use of Strava significantly, it's very rare that I ever upload a ride to Strava the same day that I complete it. That's very rare. It's much more likely to happen during the season when I'm uploading to Golden Cheetah or Training Peaks or WKO or what have you. But very typically, it's not something that I see as a great importance. Of course, my athletes and my listeners and my readers can all follow me on Strava. In fact, I encourage you, go ahead and follow me on Strava. See what I'm doing. See how much I'm doing. See how little I'm doing. Whatever. Call me out if you like. It's kind of entertaining. But I've very significantly curtailed my usage of Strava, and part of the reason why was as I sort of thrust myself more into the coaching of athletes, a lot of people had questions about Strava, and it's very, very difficult. I'll be honest with you. It's very difficult to integrate Strava properly into a training plan. It's exceptionally difficult, and it's part of it is because of the mentality of most athletes. The other part of it, however, is simply a case of the Strava fitness model is not really conducive to periodized training very well. And we'll go over why that kind of is as I get through here. But one of the biggest questions about Strava is how has it created and or changed the cycling community? And indeed, it has created its own little cycling community out there. There's a certain, you know, certain group or certain collection or certain fraction of the total cyclists out there that essentially their entire riding life revolves around Strava, around getting the next KOM, around the best time for a certain segment or a certain loop, about completing as many challenges as possible. All right, and if that's your main deal and that's what keeps you riding, I applaud you. That's great. It's good to have some motivation. I wholeheartedly approve of that. It has, as I said earlier, connected a significant number of people who probably wouldn't have connected otherwise. It's very interesting to go to a race. You upload your file to Strava and you see, oh my God, who are all these people who've raced? And you know, go clicking through names and suddenly you see a few. Well, they ride in my area. And you know, you comment on their ride and they follow you, you follow them. And before you know it, you actually meet them and you're riding together. You're training together a little bit. That's kind of a cool function of Strava. And I think that is what Strava was initially intended to be. and it was also initially intended to create a little bit of competitive spirit among people who otherwise would not be competing against each other. A Cat 5 racer and a Cat 3 racer generally don't compete with each other under any certain terms. But it's all leveled out when you're out on the road alone. Feasibly alone. Of course, I know there are plenty of people who take advantage of a group to take a KOM or take a segment or whatever. And is that in the spirit of Strava or not? That's an entirely different debate. I personally don't think it is. However, that is entirely up to your own interpretation. However, the point remains that Strava has created a little bit of competitive spirit and a little bit of drive. It has sort of sparked a fire under the ass, so to speak, of a lot of people who otherwise would not be out riding and would not be out trying to improve their fitness. So in a certain way, it's been a boom to the cycling community to bring people out, get people together, and really try to facilitate an increase in fitness and a change in fitness among cyclists of all walks of life. And along the same lines of how has it changed the community, we have to ask, how has it changed training? And in this case, how has it changed our training for the good? Well, it's very interesting that Strava, as a yearly charge, I think it's only about $100, maybe $99, something like that. I haven't looked in a long, long time, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a premium member. So it's almost unfair to me to comment. So if I'm wrong on that, you know, leave me a comment, drop me an email or whatever, and point that out. But I think it's about $99. But, well, actually, you know what? Let's look it up right now. Oh, actually, Strava is even cheaper than that. As I go over to the website here, for $59 per year, which is the best value, or $6 per month, you can actually view things such as the Suffer Score, which shows your custom heart rate zones, quantify your suffering, visualize how hard you're working. It filters your leaderboards via leveling the playing field by age, weight, etc., etc. Allows you to set time or distance goals, track your progress week by week, build up to a milestone, hit PRs. It gives you power analysis so you can discover strengths and weaknesses, see your best efforts through a recent ride, compare them with all-time best. It gives you essentially a variety or a version of the performance management chart for power meter users. It gives you download capability of GPX files, so you can grab a GPX file or a route from somebody and put it on your Garmin. You can do a personal heat map to show the ground you've covered the most frequently. It gives you real-time segment information. That's interesting. Oh, only on your phone, that's why. Real-time segment information on your phone immediately after completing segments, see how you compare to others. Shows active friends who are currently out riding and or running. You can access videos created by the Sufferfest, one of my sponsors. Head on over there and support those guys. And it'll help you stay fit, meet your goals. Trophy case for all your challenge badges and a few other things. Exclusive access to events, member benefits, some shop perks and stuff like that. So you're looking at about $60 a year for that. And I just pulled that right off of the Strava page. For runners, you get Suffer Score goals, filtered leaderboards, pace analysis, race analysis, segments, friends, heat map, etc., etc. So just an idea of what you have available on Strava. But anyway, for about $60 a year, in terms of training, you have all those tools at your discretion. Now, granted, a few of those tools require the investment of a power meter, and assuming you're investing in a power meter, you're probably going to invest in software to analyze your power meter data. In many cases, and this is the one that I recommend, I use Golden Cheetah, and I recommend people use Golden Cheetah. It is, to my knowledge, at least, is and always has been 100% free. WKO is about $99, and I think we're hovering between version 3 and version 4 right now. I don't know if version 4 will ever be released, I'll be honest with you, and if it has prior to now, I apologize, but I haven't even heard anything about it. WKO is about $100. SportTrax, I think, is somewhere around $35, maybe. Also an excellent program, but again, Golden Cheetah, free. It has huge capabilities. It is essentially open source, so people can modify it all the time, and you get all kinds of interesting stuff out of that too, which is great. And the support is bar none one of the best developer supports that I've seen in a long, long, long time. but anyway, I completely digress. The premium Strava and even basic Strava gives us the ability to compare our efforts over certain segments. If you ride the same segment a number of times a month, you can actually see improvement or degradation of performance. you can actually filter out and say, geez, I did this later in the ride, this is why I'm so bad. Or you can basically hit the same loop once a month, once every 6 weeks, once every 8 weeks, see how your speed improves, see how your power improves if you're measuring that, see how your cadence improves, see how your heart rate drops, etc., etc. And there are some useful metrics in terms of that. As I said, for $60 a month, that's actually or $60 a year, that's actually significantly cheaper than most Garmins on the market. You're talking about one third of the cost. So for somebody who is extremely cash strapped, downloading a simple app to their smartphone and spending the $60 gives them a wealth of training information that they may not have had in the past. Granted, you need to have, well, you really don't need to have sensors that are Bluetooth and or ANT chip compatible, but it does help. So check that thought a little bit at the door. It does allow us to, quote, virtually race, end quote, with each other. And that is, you know, if you have a friend who's consistently out training on the same routes as you, and you're seeing that they constantly beat your KOMs, maybe that's a little bit of impetus to get out there, get better, and improve and beat them. And as I said, it gives us some easily attainable metrics. Even if you don't have a power meter or a GPS or whatever, you can get a number of metrics off of your phone itself. And don't forget that RPE and speed are still good metrics, especially, and I pause to say, especially if you're performing under the exact same or very similar circumstances each time around. Okay, don't forget that. Too many people forget that and get caught up in the heart rate and power meter debates. And RPE and speed are two of the original ones. You know, Greg LeMond had speed and RPE, and he did fine. He won 3 Tour de France with it, so can't be that bad. So there's some of the good stuff, but honestly, from my standpoint as a coach, I consistently and constantly have to battle with clients and with a lot of media outlets on how has Strava created issues in our training community? How has Strava damaged our training mentality? Let's start with community first. I mean, if you look at the community, Strava, for what it is for the most part a great tool. However, in some cases, Strava has created what I call an antisocial cyclist. And that is your guy who consistently is not interested in riding with anybody else. They don't want to be physically beaten to the top of a climb. They don't want to be the one who loses the group ride sprint. They merely want to train alone, and they want to train on their segments. If you're the KOM of a segment, you're number one. That doesn't matter if you're not the first to the line. It doesn't matter if you're not to the first to the top of the climb, etc., etc. All right, there's sort of an antisocial nature that can become prevalent with Strava cyclists. And this sort of ties into the next point of Strava has a habit of breaking up group rides because of segment tries. Excuse me. A little bit of something stuck in my throat here. One second so I can get a sip and clear that. Group rides tend to be disrupted when people try to become the lone wolf. And Strava has sort of encouraged this. When you get that antisocial cyclist in a group ride situation, or even normal, what I would consider normal everyday cyclist, you get them into a group ride situation very often. If somebody knows there's a segment coming up, many times they're going to break that group in order to have a personal go at that segment. And to me personally, as a coach, as a team member, someone who will regularly ride with teammates, that is one of just the biggest no-nos in terms of a group ride. There's really no need to be an asshole while you're riding with a group. Save your Strava tries for later on when you're not with a group. Save your tries for, you know, your training days. All right, that's not to say the group rides are not training days. However, don't break up a group ride for a shot at KOM glory. That's not the time nor the place. If you're looking to sort of cheat the system and feed off of somebody else so that you can get a few extra bonus seconds, and morally, that may be questionable. I don't know. That's up to you to call. But the minute that you bring a KOM try into a group ride, you've suddenly changed from just affecting yourself to affecting every other single person in that group. Unless, of course, the group has guaranteed or agreed to prior to the ride to hunt segments, and that's an entirely different ball of wax, and I've seen that happen as well. It, in terms of a community, there has been a certain number of times, where it's created a downright dangerous environment. And I'm talking, of course, there's a couple of stories out there of deaths that were caused. And for a legal perspective, I am not putting blame on Strava as a company. I'm not putting blame anywhere. I'm simply stating a fact that those deaths and those injuries were caused in pursuit of Strava segments. A guy by the name of Flint, I don't remember his first name off the top of my head, who was killed descending at extremely, extremely high speed and crashed, unfortunately, passed away from injuries due to that crash. There is another example out there of a woman who was hit by a cyclist who was chasing a downhill segment, which happened to go through a crosswalk, and I believe it was an elderly Chinese woman or Asian woman, of a woman of Asian persuasion, not that it matters, but an elderly woman was hit by this cyclist as he crashed and slid, and she succumbed to the injuries and passed away from that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't recall the outcome. I do remember in the Flint case that Strava was ruled non-negligent in that case, that it was not considered to be unsanctioned racing. I don't recall the outcome in the other case with the death of the pedestrian. However, there is a certain aspect of human psychology where when you are chasing a goal, and especially a goal which is within reach, within the limits of your capability, and thoughts of safety tend to be, shall we say, further from our mind than they typically would be. And now this is especially interesting to consider when we think that we are out on the open road. There are no closed roads, generally, unless you're in a race. There are no closed roads where we are, quote, competing, end quote, with each other on Strava. We're responsible for maintaining the health and safety of ourselves and the people around us. No different than any group ride, no different than any friendly ride with friends or with acquaintances. We're responsible for keeping ourselves and everybody around us safe. But that moment where we're on the ragged edge of physiological capability and we go for something, the instinct for survival is very, very, very muted. I can tell you that. I can tell you that from experience. I've done it before. I've done a few dangerous things. And you know, after the fact, you live through it and you look and you go, dude, what was I thinking? That was idiotic. That was stupid. I could hurt somebody. I could hurt myself. Whatever. Hence the need for a road ID, which you can click through on the site. I love the fact that I can throw a sponsor right in there. That it wasn't even intended. It's not in my notes here, but it's still just perfectly available. But yeah, there is a certain lack of concern for safety in a lot of Strava hunters, segment hunters, KOM hunters. And that is remarkably disconcerting, especially when we as a community really should be banding together, not breaking traffic laws, not running through crosswalks, not running red lights, not running stop signs, and generally obeying the rules of the road. That's not to mean we can't have fun, but take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. A little bit of safety and a little bit of prevention goes a long way at preventing tragedies like the two cases I referred to. And in addition to that sort of dangerous environment, which I've personally seen out there. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bagging on Strava for this, but I have personally seen that environment created, and it's not pretty. But alongside that, there may indeed be an effect on the racing and Grand Fondo communities in terms of entries, because Strava has essentially created, and granted they do not call it this, but Strava has essentially created what amounts to a virtual racing and virtual competition. I have heard a number of people say that, I really don't need to go to a race. I can race anybody I want on Strava. The coach in me, the racer in me, looks at that person like they've just sprouted a fifth or sixth or seventh head. And for the life of me, I just sit there and I go, my God, man, why? Have we really become so detached from society and so detached from each other that all we can do, even in our athletic pursuits, is sit behind a screen and compete with each other on a virtual scale? Never mind that Strava racing is not really, quote, racing. It's a form of virtual racing where everybody is comparing their absolute best day. I mean, I know plenty of people who have beaten pro cyclists on segments, and they go, oh my God, I beat Ted King, or I beat Jeremy Powers, or I beat whoever on a segment. It's amazing. How do you know it's amazing? Just because they're a name doesn't mean anything. They may have been out for a recovery ride. They may have been out just riding to a coffee shop. Ted King, right, regularly rides just to ride. Just to get out, just to enjoy the area. How do you know that beating him is akin to actually beating him on the road? Because chances are you're probably not able to do that. That's my guess. So the question remains, and I don't know that anybody has actually studied it, but has Strava and the Strava community cut into race fees, race entry fees, Grand Fondo entries, etc., etc., because people are already getting a taste of competition every time they sit down behind their desk after a ride and plug in their Garmin? I don't know. My gut feeling is that, yes, there is some of that going on. The number's high. I doubt it. I'm pretty sure if people are interested in Fondos or races, they're actually going out and racing, but I think there is a certain number of people that they just don't, because they have their form of competition already. So, having covered how Strava has created issues in the actual cycling community, both virtual community and real community, the coach in me has to ask, how has Strava damaged our training mentality? Well, I personally believe, and this comes from talking to a lot of cyclists, that the constant mantra, the constant goal, the constant theory and idea behind Strava is simply to go harder. It's simply to go harder. Now, that is a good thing and a bad thing. A lot of people need some motivation to get out and go a little bit harder, to get out of their comfort zone, to try something that is difficult for them, something that will actually push their body to adapt and become stronger. I do agree with that. However, the constant discussion around going harder really falls flat in the face of recovery and the concept of periodization of training. All right. Nowhere in the case of Strava in general, there are, I'm sure, a few exceptions, is any thought given to intelligent periodized training. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, but yeah, I use Strava and I don't race, so why do I need to periodize my training? Well, you know what? I go through this a lot with very beginner riders. I even go through it with some advanced riders, people who just want to go out and ride, and they want to ride, and they want to get better. And the only thing they know is to ride more to get more. And eventually there is a diminishing return, all right, in terms of that concept. And the mentality that you have to go hard every time you're out. There's also a diminishing return on that concept as well. That gets into the idea of recovery and how important that is, which is a future podcast, but I digress with that. No intelligent thought is given to really to training on Strava. The main things, according to Strava, are to gather miles, build the number of feet that you've climbed, etc., etc. And that's that is sort of really conceptualized and shown very clearly through these Strava challenges. Not that challenges are not a great thing. In fact, I've partaken in them a few times. They can be motivating if you have nothing else on your calendar. But the concept of just going for miles without thought for why makes no sense to me as a coach and as a physiologist. The idea of climbing a certain number of feet just so you can say you did it makes little to no sense to me as a physiologist and or a coach. All right. I talked about the idea of suffer score a little bit earlier in the podcast when I was discussing what Strava Premium offers. The suffer score is sort of a subliminal psychological tweak to try and get you to go harder every time. I've actually had even teammates say, I got to get my suffer score up. What was your suffer score, man? What was your suffer score? Well, mine was higher than yours. It must have been harder. Who cares? Really, who cares? If I beat you to the top of a climb, or I beat you in a town line sprint, does it really matter if, my suffer score was less than yours? Or is it simply a case of you worked harder to get the same thing I did or even less than I did? Does it really matter? And of course, what I alluded to earlier, the challenges are often completely unrealistic in terms of periodized training for a specific goal. Granted, I have worked them into people's training plans in the past. It is not something that I'm unable to do. It's something I don't recommend doing, but I have done it. I actually have worked the RAFA Rising Challenge into somebody's training plan. However, they were essentially training for a hilly race. So a week of remarkably high training stress, very difficult climbing, is not necessarily inappropriate for them at the time. The volume, however, was remarkably higher than they should have been doing, and the recovery was, albeit a couple weeks longer than would have been necessary had it been a moderate planned week. However, it's possible. It's possible. It's doable. But it's not practical in most cases. All that being said, and with those thoughts in mind, how can we possibly use Strava as an effective training tool? Number one, Strava is a very effective training tool from a standpoint of motivation. If you are constantly motivated to improve upon yourself and beat other people, then you will certainly be motivated to train, get out, and improve on yourself. It cannot be understated how important the psychological value of that motivation is. All right, so Strava has really hit the nail on the head. It's created an addiction, which, when harnessed, can be absolutely invaluable for an athlete, especially one who has trouble with maintaining a certain amount of focus and a certain amount of motivation. From a more concrete standpoint, you are able, of course, to time yourself over segments. You can set conditions, you can set loops, you can even set private segments for just yourself. And you can actually see what your improvement is each time you cross that segment. So, for example, I have a specific specific loop which I use, that is very near to my home, which I do FTP testing on. I will also do general fitness testing on that. Not necessarily functional threshold testing, but general fitness testing, just so that I can see how am I improving? Am I faster on certain parts? Am I slower on certain parts? Is my overall heart rate dropped for that effort? Is my overall power increased for that effort? What have you? You can look at those training metrics. And of course, with the premium version of Strava, especially if you're using a power meter, heart rate monitor, et cetera, you have a certain number of training tools at your disposal to monitor and basically adapt your training based on true empirical data. And that is definitely a value provided by Strava, and typically one that is provided at a very reasonable cost as well. So those are a few things that are very, very valuable. Of course, we can go back to the psychological portion of this and say that it allows you to meet new people to train with. It'll allow you to really keep tabs on old friends and try to beat them, et cetera, things like that. That's cannot, again, be dismissed. All right. So really, in wrapping up here, looking at Strava from a coach's perspective, yes, it has certain issues. Yes, it has created a certain subsect of the cycling population that really takes it a little too seriously. All right, certainly it has created some antisocial cyclists out there. But the other question is, how many people has it hooked? How many people has it brought into that cycling family that we otherwise probably wouldn't have? How many people does it keep motivated to ride their bike after a long, cold winter? Or how many people does it motivate to try and improve their fitness so that they can beat one of their friends up their favorite hill climb? All right. There are a lot of questions out there. And a lot of those questions are based on how you, as a cyclist, as an athlete with specific goals and challenges, how do you utilize that? Do you become completely and fully involved in it? Do you become a slave to your KOM tries? Or is it simply a motivational tool used to meet other people in your area and used to really just keep tabs on your own fitness? The choice is yours, and the opinion really is, in the end, ultimately yours. I will close by saying this, that I frequently use Strava to follow my athletes, those that I am doing training plan support with, those that I'm coaching one-on-one. I use Strava to follow those athletes. It's impossible for me to collect power files for 4 weeks of training from every single athlete that I've coached. I would have multiple terabytes of data, I'm almost certain. The amount of data that some of you provide me is absolutely staggering. And don't get me wrong, I love that data. I love to look at that data. I love to see what that data entails. But sometimes I just need to see, how'd you do? What did you write for that interval? Did you feel good for that interval? Did you write, wow, that was a tough workout? Strava really strips down to the absolute bare minimum what an athlete is feeling by the diary entries. And it really is a great tool for finding and following people, which is what I personally think it is absolutely the best at. Should you use it for a training tool? I applaud you if you're able to. Should you use it just for a social tool? I certainly do. Should you use it for a little bit of both? I certainly do that. However, I always see it for what it is. It's just another tool in a rapidly expanding toolbox of gadgets, gizmos, and motivational tweaks that we can use in order to become a stronger, faster, fitter, more competitive cyclist. And sort of by extension, a faster, fitter, more competitive human being. But that's an entirely different podcast right there. Strong first, folks. Remember that. I appreciate you sticking with me throughout this miniature rant about Strava and how it has changed and modified our fitness. I'm not going to go anywhere saying that Strava is a fitness wonder. I'm not going to say it's a fitness wrecker. I'm going to leave it up to you to decide. But until then, unless you're in the Northern Hemisphere and it's going to start raining real soon, and be pretty cold. Keep the rubber side down. Keep the shiny side up. Keep your motivation high. Get out there and kick a little bit of ass. I'll be talking to you again real soon.